I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
And today we have someone who's going to be a ton of fun for you folks who are out there looking for love, whether it's the first time, the second time, the third time. We have DC's matchmaking queen. I'll call you the matchmaking queen.
Okay, I'll take that.
Kate O'Connor, who has been in this business, in this industry for 10 years now. She's a vice president, executive matchmaker. I almost blurbled that up. Vice President, Executive Matchmaker for the Select Date Society. And her job, which she specializes and focuses in and loves doing, is connecting high net worth individuals from all around the world with their special persons. So welcome aboard, Kate. We are really interested in digging in with you today.
Yes. Well, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Kate, we met you several years ago at one of the TV stations.
Yes, it was during the pandemic, I think.
It was like a little bit before, because we were in studio, I think, right before it happened.
Oh, you know, that's right. I think it was December, January before the pandemic, and either at Fox or at WJLA. I can't remember which it was. I don't recall.
One of those. I think it might have been Fox, but I don't know.
Yes.
No, we hit it off.
We met you, and you were like adorable, and we loved what you did because it sort of tied into relationships and what we do in a different, you know, in a different way.
Yeah.
So let's sort of start at the ground level, right?
Okay.
What's the process for someone who wants to work with you? What do they do? What do you ask them to do? And then what do you do to try to help them find that special person, as you like to call them?
Well, they need to be ready first and foremost. They can't just expect to get in touch with a matchmaker and make the magic work and it just blossoms. The person who's ready to date and meet their somebody needs to have their self together and be ready to learn, but like really take action too. You can't just sit on the back burner and expect things to come your way. So, you know, people, they reach out to us, whether they've tried other avenues of dating or maybe they're just more discreet. They don't want their details out and about. So they reach out to us and, you know, it's a two-way street. We need to make sure that we can work with our clients and everybody has a list of what they're looking for. So we want to make sure that we can actually make our clients successful. Otherwise, we won't work with them. You know, we can definitely refer out to whoever is going to be a better fit as far as matchmaking or a better service. But just in terms of what we do, we definitely want to get an idea of what their goals are, you know, what challenges maybe they've been having right now in terms of dating. A lot of what I've recognized in the last couple of years of being a matchmaker is a lot of our problems with dating and relationships tend to stem back from like early childhood. So we talk a lot about how you were raised. How did you get to where you're at today? But really it's also like we're family with our clients. We get to know them very well. This is not something where we want our clients to just expect to talk with us once a month. Like we're in touch. We want to know what's going on outside of personal life too, but we really cut to the core of figuring out what that person needs, maybe an area that they're a little bit afraid and help them step out of their comfort zone. But we're not here to just lead the person to, you know, figure it out for themselves. We want to lead them towards success and help them in that sense. So
it's not a situation like where someone comes in and you give them a book with, you know, with 12 Facebook profiles and say, pick one of these people.
Right. No,
if we were just doing two, obviously.
Two truths and a lie is not going to lead you to your partner.
Yeah. It almost sounds like you do a little bit of therapy, like a little dive into like past. Cause we all have a past. We all come to relationships with our own past. So I wanted to ask you, well, I have so many questions for you, but in terms of, we talk a lot about, and I notice as a therapist, different attachment styles.
Yeah.
So is that something that you kind of see and dive into?
Oh, yeah.
You know, are people avoidant? Are they anxious? And how does that play in? So how do you kind of, as a matchmaker, you know, address those issues or incorporate?
Yeah. Sometimes our clients will call it out and it's something that they've worked on and they know what their attachment style is, but more than likely, a lot of our clients don't know what their attachment style is at first. And we really don't know what that looks like until they have started dating and experienced, maybe they like somebody and they really have hit it off, but it's the communication styles that they got to figure out for themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. So being the third wheel, I would say on the other side of just watching that, you do get a sense in terms of what somebody's attachment style is. But another aspect that we utilize just while working with our clients, so we understand them, it's not necessarily something that we relate with dating, but the Enneagram is really helpful for us to see where they are in terms of their personality, because we all do have some strengths and weaknesses. The Enneagram is really good at pointing
What is that? I've not heard that before.
So it's a personality test, I would say. It's one of the many that's out mm-hmm. there, but mm-hmm. there's lots of different aspects out there. It really does determine though what your personality type is mm-hmm. and maybe some areas that you could end up self-sabotaging mm-hmm. or some areas that like you're just not vulnerable. Maybe you are just, you like to sugarcoat things and make everybody happy. Like everybody has a different way that they want to come across. And so, you know, taking the test, most of the results are very accurate unless the mm-hmm. person has a different identity, you know, internally. But for us, it helps us when we're able to see the weaknesses mm-hmm. because if somebody's not able to be vulnerable or they're afraid to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. that's an area that we might need to like dig a little bit deeper and push a little bit more mm-hmm. to get that person to open up. And honestly, we start off any membership that way with our clients, with doing the deep dive in just past history and tying in the Enneagram. It's a good baseline mm-hmm. to start and then see how it develops along the way.
That's very cool that you do that. So one of the things that I would say we see, you know, like in David's office as a divorce lawyer and my office as a therapist, and then together in the, you know, relationship coaching that we do, is that a lot of people are conflict avoidant mm-hmm. and they don't know how to dig in and have conversations because they sometimes just turn into really uncomfortable, you know, moments or, you know, just go down really quickly.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will be like, you know, sweeping things under the rug and not really addressing. And then what happens is an explosion or a, you know, divorce lawyer consultation kind of thing.
Yeah.
So is that something that you see that you can kind of pick up on in, you know, in the personality test thing
yeah.
and that you're like thinking about as a dating coach and a
yeah.
matchmaker?
I would say fear is the thing that we see a lot. And a lot of that is fear of rejection too, which mm-hmm. it's not necessarily where it boils up to a blow up, but it's more so of like, okay, I like them, now what? And it's like second guessing themselves to just go for it. A lot of us, it's like we hold ourselves back to protect ourselves for some reason when there's something really good in the front of us. So mm-hmm. I would say that's a big thing that we do see. And it does come up with a lot of the details we discussed before they actually start dating.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side of that, though, you will have a person who's like, got it together. They've done the work, you know, and they're starting to see somebody. And it's like 3 weeks into that relationship, they start freaking out because they've been triggered by something in the past that
yes.
they did not realize was a problem mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. that it would butt its way back in. And it always does. It's just like being prepared for that to happen and being okay with it, and hopefully being okay to be vulnerable with your partner, because communication again is key with everything that we do. So,
yeah. So one of the first things, as you're talking, one of the first things that was different in David and I's relationship than I had with anybody else is we met one night, and then the next day I went home to do laundry and, you know, that kind of thing. And we had home phone numbers back then. We didn't have cells. And he said he was going to call me. And like, I went home, and then the next day my dad was like, "Oh, while you were out, this young gentleman called, his name is David Bullitt." I wrote down his number, and I'm like, "What? He actually called? Like, he did what he said he was going to do?" And then our relationship from there was like that. Like, he said, "I'm going to pick you up at 8, or I'm going to call you on this time." And he would actually do it. And that was very different than any other guy that I had ever been with. Yeah. There was so many game playing and waiting and those kinds of things. So, you know.
Well, you were a bit of a kid at the time.
I was younger, like 18.
Yeah, you were younger. But let me switch from our history, which we can talk about another time. You work with high net worth folks. Mm-hmm. Why would somebody who's got a lot of resources need a matchmaker?
They have the ability to outsource it. You know, it's not that they are desperate and that they need somebody, but again, a lot of our clients being high net worth, they are public figures. There's also other clients that are, you know, they're just more discreet. They don't want to be flashy and put it all out there. Mm-hmm. But when people hear high net worth, you don't know if they're actually in it for the right reasons or not. So, you know, the good thing with us is we protect everyone. We want everyone to feel safe. We don't want them to feel like they're on a big billboard being plastered out for everyone to grab at. We want them to feel special. But really, the whole reason that somebody would do something like this is they have the ability. They are successful in every other aspect of their life. It's just really wanting that special someone to share their life with.
Yeah, and that gets me to my next question, which is, you know, when you're dealing with someone like that, someone who has resources, that's been successful in all other areas, be it business, be it career, whatever it might be, what if any special issues, you know, things that you particularly have to be careful of, watch out for, and deal with when you're working with folks like that, you know, these high net worth type folks?
That they're in it for the right reasons. We, you know, you come across people every single day and you hope to God that they are really looking for a serious relationship. But unfortunately, that's just not always the case. So when we do our interviews, it's almost like I'm going out on the first date before a client meets anyone. And I'm not saying we're grilling them, but we can really cut to the chase on who that person is when we're talking about what their lifestyle is like. And maybe asking questions that is not appropriate for a first date, just so we can understand that they are actually on the same page and that we have no worries. They can go sail off with our client, and like, the rest is just about chemistry. So,
and what about unrealistic expectations in relationships? Cause again, we see a lot of that. We, you know, people go into this thinking that it's always going to be fun and sexy and romantic, and most of life, what is that comment? The magic is in the mundane.
Right.
Most of the stuff that it goes on in relationships is the small stuff.
Yeah.
And it ain't always pretty.
Yeah. I agree with that completely. I do feel that, you know, unrealistic expectations, they happen. We always say you got to think about how you feel, you know, on the date. Take everything out of it. Take your preferences out of it. Let's just say you're strolling across town and you see a bunch of people out there, there's going to be somebody that's going to catch your attention, and you have no idea what their life story is, but there's something about them that's making you go, they've caught my attention. Like, they've got good energy. They're a great parent to their kid and they're laughing. They're having fun. Like, that should really be an indication of you want to talk to them, because they could have everything on your checklist, but absolutely be the worst date, the worst talker, not a good partner, again, like obsessed with other things that are not going to make a good relationship happen. There's a lot of people who are looking for the successful one, the like mm-hmm. one at the top of their career. Sometimes that means they're married to work though, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really figuring out again, are they actually serious about finding their person? Like, do they feel like they've hit every level? And it's more so now about focusing on self and just looking out for that person and building your future, whether that's starting a family or just having your travel partner for life. Like, you want to do that with somebody that makes you feel good, not just somebody who's at the top of their career.
It sounds to me like you need to convince folks to that this is not a checklist type thing.
Yeah.
You know, I like blondes. I like people who went here. I like the beach. They have to like this. They have to like that. So you sort of have to talk folks out of that checklist sort of mentality, right? And like you said, look for, you know, what makes them feel good. That's got to be an interesting discussion, I imagine, that you have with people.
It definitely is. And I think it can be uncomfortable at first. But if you think about it in the sense of dating as a scientific experiment, I know that sounds crazy, but like if you don't experience different people in your life, then how the heck do you know that that's not right for you? Like, you know, when people say, okay, I'm 5'3 and I need a guy who's 6 foot, like, are you telling me that there's somebody that was shorter than that that could not fill up your love tank and make you feel good? Like, nobody says yes to that, you know? So it is definitely a big reality check there. But you're not going to learn until you experience it. And a lot of the times people do explore, they prove themselves wrong. And I would actually even say that every single person we've had successful at Select Date Society, what their list was is not necessarily who they ended up with. It's always a little bit different.
Interesting. So one of the things that I've seen over the years, and this is just an interesting kind of phenomenon, is people that have difficulty flirting and being playful in relationships. Mm-hmm. Either maybe they were raised a certain way, religion got into their head, or their parents are still, you know, kind of thinking about that. And is that something that you work on with your clients? And tell me a little bit about that, because I'm curious, like, how do you teach somebody to flirt?
No, it's definitely, people need a little bit of assistance flirting, because I do feel, I don't know if the pandemic changed this, but it's something I just noticed in the last couple of years is sometimes people can be going out on dates like they're going out with a coworker instead. Mm-hmm. So it's like too serious and not flirty. And it is all about body language and eyes, you know, looking at each other and not being afraid to laugh. But I think also being able to flirt is being your authentic self and not trying to be somebody that you aren't. I feel like that's when people start creating a scenario that's not going to work out for them at the end of the day. So definitely resources is also really important. There's so many good videos and podcasts out there. Matthew Hussey is amazing in terms of like just talking with women too, from a man's perspective of what they want. And it's not somebody who's serious. It's somebody who can be playful. And honestly, even if you say the wrong thing and they're not totally into it, it's probably not your person. So it's just not being afraid and just going out on a date like you're going out with your best friends. That's flirting.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do a lot of that, and we've been together for a while, or I try to anyway.
He flirts all the time, every day, 24 hours a day. That's never been an issue for him.
What do you do with folks who come to you? And I got to assume that people are coming to you in part because they feel unlucky in love, right? I just can't find that person, and they're not out there, and this is sort of a last ditch kind of effort. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you say to those people who come with that sort of attitude and baggage, I guess, to a certain degree?
That they're not alone. I think everyone goes through it. You have to look at the success stories to feel inspiration, because everyone has a story where they've been heartbroken, or like it's not necessarily where they don't feel deserving of a person, but maybe they just haven't found the right person at the end of the day. They haven't felt the love they've been looking for. So it's just getting around to the idea that we all go through ups and downs, and some people, they have bigger puzzle pieces to put together than others. Like, there's others that are very lucky and they find themselves really young and it just works and it clicks. But
yeah,
a lot of people are not that lucky, you know? So you just got to go with the ebbs and flows of life.
Yeah. So let's talk about you.
But wait. I got another question for you. Okay. I'm going to save her for last.
Okay.
I have another follow-up to that.
Okay.
Because we do talk to a lot of people, you know, who are sort of second time arounders, right? Mm-hmm. Either they lost their spouse for health reasons, someone passed, or they're divorced, whatever it may be, you know, and do you have clients who are in that sort of position?
Oh yeah. And a lot of,
I figured that. And so, mm-hmm. so give me a little bit about, you know, what special issues, how do you work with them? Cause a lot of those folks will say, I'm going to assume I don't want somebody like the person I just spent 22 years with, or alternatively, I want someone just like my ex-wife who passed, you know, a year or two ago. So tell us a little bit about how you work with those kinds of folks.
Yeah. I think it's challenging because if you've been married to somebody and maybe it did happen unexpectedly, you probably didn't visualize your life being alone. Like, you have always had them as your second half, you know? So I think a lot of people will compare their past partner to who their future is going to be. I think in a situation where if a spouse passed away, that's a little bit, that's tricky, you know, because it's, you have to be, again, open, and you have had to do a little bit of work before you just start dating after you've lost somebody. Mm-hmm. But like, I think when somebody has gone through the divorce, they probably have a little bit more time to see that this was coming. So, you know, it's tricky, but I think just knowing that it's not going to be something that happens overnight, that you're going to be in a relationship and this feeling is going to go away. I'm a firm believer you can have more than one soulmate. I think we have quite a few soulmates out there. You know, it's all about timing and just what is going on in life. But every situation is a little bit different. So depending on that person, they might need a little bit more TLC. There's other people out there that are like, let's go, let's do this. You know, they're ready. They know that their person would not want them to sit around and be sappy and not look like we are all deserving of love. And I do believe that when your person has passed away, they're looking down, they're on the dates with you, they're having fun. They're probably like going back with you to your house to recap internally. So, you know, if you can have some fun with that and know that person is there, or, hey, if the other person let you go, like, this is your time to go enjoy yourself and have fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now we get to the biggest match that you've made in mm-hmm. time recently. So tell us about your situation.
Yeah. So when we met you, you were dating.
Yep.
You were looking. So tell us about your journey.
It's been a interesting journey, and I feel like being a matchmaker, you can see through a lot of just everything, you know? So I've always been a person where if I talk with them in the first couple of minutes, I was really easy to write people off. I was very guilty of that, but I also probably didn't practice what I preached there for a bit. And I would take long extended periods of just not dating, and like, I don't know what got into me, but right before I met Pete, I made a deal with myself and I was like, I'm going to do this the right way. And I created healthy boundaries so that people did not think that they could just absorb this energy and that I would be okay with that. So I wanted to make sure that I had a couple of dates with somebody before it really was getting into anything serious. Definitely not looking for the love bomber, because I think that is something that happens a lot when you are just dating and meeting new people. But with Pete, he caught my attention. I was on Hinge when I was looking, and I had no idea that prior to that, I actually had met him before. I just didn't necessarily put the dots together. So we went to Topgolf for our first date, which also, like, I have never been an activity date for a first date. So that was outside of my comfort zone. And it took us a little bit of time to warm up, but like 30 minutes into the date, it started getting flirty and playful and like not so serious. And that's, Pete and I are complete opposites. We're both goofballs, but I can like word vomit everything out. And I think he was not completely used to that at first, but I think because I was able to do that, he was able to do it right back to me after a little bit. It was just building some trust with one another. But, you know, when you were saying that you're used to guys kind of playing games and mm-hmm. toying around, mm-hmm. I sure was expecting that with Pete. I was like, he's a confident guy. I don't know what's going on in the background there, but he called me all the time and like checked in on me daily, which you always are like, where's the guy that can call me? And here he is, you know, doing that. Mm-hmm. But I loved his lifestyle that he had. He's like such a hard worker. He's, you know, Greek, and he's very close to this family, which is so different for me. I grew up loving my big fat Greek wedding, and I feel mm-hmm. like now I'm actually living my big fat Greek wedding. I'm like the Aiden, or I don't know what his name is in the movie, but
are you using Windex on everything now?
No Windex, but a lot of olive oil and like a lot of delicious Greek salads are now in my life. But Pete was the person that truly proved my worries and men were wrong, and like that I could let him in. And he's the protector that I've been looking for and best travel partner ever. So, you know, we've had a lot of fun over these last 2 years, and we went to Greece and made it official. So it's been
we followed your journey.
Yeah, we're really, really happy for you.
Yeah, we're so excited.
And you can see it when you talk about it, how happy you are. So it's just been terrific. And we so appreciate you taking the time today. I think there's a lot of people that can learn a lot from you, mm-hmm. Whether they've been married before, whether they haven't, whether they've been in a relationship or whether they haven't. And if the folks out there who are listening, what's the best way for them to get hold of you? Now, we'll include everyone out there. We'll include all this in our show notes. But while we have you, Kate, what's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Yeah, we have an inquiry form at selectdatesociety.com. And that's for people who are either interested in becoming a client, or maybe you want to date our clients. You want to be in a potential. So there's a form where you can fill that out and put in all of your details that's helpful for us, and we can touch base. You can also message me on LinkedIn under Kate O'Connor, VIP matchmaker with Select Date Society. Just send me a message. I utilize that a lot. But those are the best ways. We do have social media as well that I would say follow along, because we definitely give a lot of great tips. The owners of our company, Sandra and Amber, are phenomenal. I actually can credit them to my relationship with Pete, because when I started working with this company and using their tips, I started taking it on. So again, awesome. A success story outside of being a client, but they know their stuff. So mm-hmm. we've all been in the industry forever, but those two ladies have been in separately 25 years, 50 years together each. So
nice.
They know a lot of matching.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. And for everyone out there, we are The Bullitts, TheBullitts. We're at our website, thebullitts.com. We're on all social media platforms
and
at The Bullitts.
Please subscribe to the podcast.
Yes, please give us a subscribe and reach out to Kate if you're looking for love, because she's the one that can help you find it.
Definitely. Yes.
Thank you again. Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
Julie Bullitt is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullitt is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.